All right. The miracles of the Lord Jesus Christ. And today we have chosen one in the book of Luke. The book of Luke, chapter 5, there is a miracle of the Lord. Now, it has nothing to do, it doesn't have as much to do with people as we've noticed in the past. We have the Lord healing lepers in the past. We've had the Lord healing the blind in the past. We've had the Lord healing a woman that had an issue of blood in the past. We've had many miracles that the Lord had done during his ministry. And in this passage of scripture, we're going to find out he provides the disciples with something that they just couldn't get themselves. So we're in the fifth chapter of the book of Luke, and the scripture begins this way. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God. Now that's an interesting statement there. They pressed upon him to hear the word of God. There's one thing that every time the Lord Jesus Christ opened his mouth and spoke one word, that word was the word of God. The Lord Jesus is the God-man. He is the God come in the flesh. He is Emmanuel. And so as he speaks, he's speaking the word of God. And it tells us that these people that were with him and pressed close by him, wanting to hear, they wanted to hear. It says they pressed upon him to hear the word of God. Now, the word of God that the Lord Jesus Christ was speaking and teaching, all that he ever used was what we know as the Old Testament. He used the book of Genesis to Malachi because the New Testament had not been written yet. There had not been the Holy Spirit giving those words to secretaries such as Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, or Saul, or Paul, or Peter, or James. It was the Old Testament that he used to preach the gospel about himself, that he truly is the only Savior. And as it tells us here, the people pressed him. Have you ever been in a crowd and you just felt like people were pressing upon you? Well, that's how the Lord was. And they pressed upon him, and it says, to hear the word of God. And he stood by the lake of Gennesaret. Now, that lake is known by three names in the New Testament. It's known by the Lake Gennesaret, the Sea of Tiberias, and the Sea of Galilee. Now, the Sea of Galilee, I can find almost any information on the internet anymore, and some of it is okay. But it said the Sea of Galilee is about 12 miles long and about 8 miles wide. Now, it's not a square, and it's not a rectangle. It's an odd lake, but it's pretty large, and it is going to be used and still is used for fishing. Now, it tells us here that he came down to the lake that was there, and people were pressing upon him to hear the word of God. You know, in another place in the book of Matthew, chapter 7, it says that he taught them as one having authority and not as one of the scribes. In other words, this preacher believed what he was preaching. It was not just sounding words. It was not just information. He was preaching the gospel about himself, that he was the Savior. And so that's one thing that they could understand. He spoke as one having authority. He believed what he was preaching. He believed the word of God. It's amazing to find out, as preachers are surveyed today, to find out how many do not believe that God created the heavens and the earth, and how many don't believe that Jesus actually rose from the dead, and on it goes. Well, if you don't believe those things, there's no way in this world that you could even have any knowledge of God, because that's what he gives us. So he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. The scribes, it was just rote memory. It was their job to do that. You know what? Preaching the gospel to the Lord Jesus Christ was not a job. It was a ministry. It was a blessing. It was something he was sent here from heaven to do. So it was a wonderful thing that he did for the people to preach to them about the Lord Jesus Christ. And then it says there in verse 2, and he saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were out of them and they were washing their nets. So these are fishing boats. And I didn't look up to see how big they were, but they weren't real big boats, but they were fishing boats. And several people worked on each of these boats to fish. That was their job. That was how they made a living. That's how they provided the bread and the milk for the tables, were these fishing boats. And it says they were washing their nets. And we're going to find out in just a moment that the people that had been fishing the day before, the night before, didn't catch one fish. Now, I don't know how many times I've gone fishing and came back without one fish, but it wasn't my business. It wasn't my job. I didn't come back so disappointed that I'd never go again. I was doing it for sport. They're doing it for a living. They're making their living by fishing. And it says here that he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon Peter's, and prayed him that he would thrust a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. So now he's going to have a lectern. Whereas it was before, people were gathered all around him on all sides to listen to him. He got into one of these boats and he said, Peter, push out just a little ways and I'll use this for a place to sit and I'll teach the people. And now all of them are out in front of me. And what an opportunity he gave himself and the people. More people could hear him now than before. More people could see him now than before. And what a blessing that is to hear and to see the Lord Jesus Christ. He wanted a better point of view, and he wanted everybody to hear him. And he had the most important message this world has ever heard. That's good news, that God has provided a Savior. Good news. Now, all of us have a problem. And that problem is we were in the fall with Adam and we're all sinners by nature. But God sent his son to take care of that issue for people, for his people. And then it says there in verse 5 or verse 4, and when he had left speaking, he finished his conversation. You know, one of the things an old preacher told me many years ago, he says, Norm, stand up. Norm, speak up. And Norm, when you're finished, shut up. Well, we find the Lord practicing that. He spoke up. He had something to say. When he was finished, he said, okay, Peter, I want you to push the boat out farther. He said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. In verse 4, I launch out farther away from shore and drop your nets. Now, this is the beginning of one of the great instances of the Lord's ministry to these people. They're going to be his disciples. He's going to call them. He's going to have them declare the good news that he is the Lamb of God, that he is the Savior of the people. And he says, go out just a little bit distance. And it tells us that Simon answering and said unto him, now he uses a term that's so interesting. He uses the term, not Jesus, but he uses the term master. He already knew something about this one man, that this one was the master. He was the king. He was the Lord. He was not just Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. He was not just Jesus Christ, the term that we use and religion people use. He's the master. And that speaks highly of what Simon Peter had already seen, that this one is my master. He says, Master, we have toiled all night. Now, there's so much said in those words. You know how Peter just simply said, Lord, we're really tired. We're wore out from spending all night fishing. And you know what? We didn't catch a thing. We don't have one fish to show for all our work. And yet, he goes on to say, and have taken nothing, nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. Nevertheless, but at thy saying, because you say so, but at your word, but at thy word, I will let down the nets. Now, he's a boat owner, and he's a net owner, and he's a fisherman. And he said here that because you said this, I will let down the nets. We've worked all night. We're just cleaned up our nets. We're ready to go home. but at thy word, I will let down the net. Obedience is a precious thing. You know, there's only one person that is obedient, and that is a child of God. Obedient to God is a child of God. Now, in the book of Old Testament, book of 1 Samuel, and the Lord may have preached from this section of Scripture in the past. We don't have a record of it, but he only had the Old Testament to use, and he may have spoke from these words, because there was a king of Israel one time that was disobedient to God, and God said, because you've done this, I'm taking away the kingdom from you. His name was Saul. And it tells us over there in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 15, and Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Is it just as important for you to perform sacrifices and offerings as it is to obey the Lord? Well, Saul had saved a whole bunch of sheep and cattle from what God told him to destroy, and he said, well, we're going to offer these to you. Well, Samuel is used as a prophet, a preacher of righteousness, and said, is it as important to have sacrifices, or is it important to have obedience to the Lord? And he brings this up, and he says, but behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken is than the fat of rams. It's better to obey. You know, the gospel is commanded to be obeyed. We can't do it by nature, but we're commanded to do it. The only way that we can do that is the Holy Spirit opens our heart, gives us a new heart, and we believe. So he said, it is better to hear the voice of God, to obey the voice of the Lord, than it is to have a sacrifice or to go through all kinds of religious things. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is an iniquity and idolatry. So he said, these things are really bad, Saul. And because of this, because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. Now, it's a wonderful thing when we read about Peter. Peter is told, launch out into the deep, let your nets down for a drop, for a bunch of fish at one time. Peter said, Master, because you said so, we'll do it. But we've been out here all night. Now, there's that tinge there, that tinge. Aren't you glad the Lord forgives us of those tinges? That when we have a doubt about what his word means, that he continues, you know, he said to his people, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He said to his people, you are in my hands and I'm in my Father's hands and you cannot be taken out. So we're glad for that he does take care of his people. But sometimes there's that tinge that we see, as Peter did. And we find out in that passage of Scripture back in the book of Luke, we've toiled all night, but nevertheless, at thy word, I'll let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes and their net brake. The miracle about this is, you know, never in my life did I ever get a fish to do what I wanted it to do. You know what we have to do? We have to bait them. We take a hook or a lure. We put something on a hook that we hope will attract them, and we bait them. Or we get a lure that looks like some other food, and we bait them and hook them and then bring them in. You know what the Lord did with this? He brought a whole multitude of fishes together at one time. He is demonstrating to his disciples that he's not only ruler over all things, but ruler over fish too. You know, there was one time when his disciples were questioned about whether their master paid tax or not. And not wanting to go and create a problem, he told one of his disciples, I want you to go down to the lake. I want you to cast in a hook. I want you to catch a fish. You'll catch a fish. And when you take that fish, open it up its mouth, and you know what's going to be inside of it? Money for the taxes. That fish took up a coin and held it in his mouth. And who could do that but God? God is over all things. He is absolute sovereign over all things. Great things, little things. He's over fishes. And they had been out there all night trying to catch some fish. And the Lord said, put your nets down. And they caught a host of fish that began to break their nets. You know what? But they didn't lose one fish. They brought in every fish that there. God had overruled the minds of those fish and brought them into a school, and they caught them. The master of the seas, you know, in the book of Jonah, it tells us, to me, that's a wonderful account. God's ruling over all things. It tells us there in the book of Jonah that God brought on a great wind. You know, I was walking by the windows today, and I see those flowers just about to be jerked out of the ground because of the Dalles wind. Well, who's in charge of that? That's Almighty God. It's not just because there's high pressure and low pressure. He's in charge of the high pressure and low pressure. He's in charge of all things. He is absolute ruler over all things. So he brought on a wind. And you know, it caused that ship for Jonah to be jumping around and bouncing around there. And they started throwing over all of the stuff that they were carrying on that ship. And finally, the mariner said, "What can we do? What can we do?" Jonah says, "The only thing you can do to save this ship is throw me overboard. I'm running from God." So they threw him overboard in the Mediterranean Sea. And the next thing we find out, God had prepared a great fish. Now, that may have been the only fish like it in all the world. And I've had a lot of people tell me that fish can't swallow a man. This fish swallowed a man. God prepared a special fish. A whale can't swallow a man. I don't care what people will tell me. The Bible tells us that he prepared a great fish, and that swallowed Jonah. And Jonah was in that great fish's belly for 3 days and three nights. Now, one reason was for that. It was an illustration of how long the Lord Jesus would be in the earth in a tomb. As Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the great whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. On the third day, he came out. So did Jonah. All right. So God provided the wind. God provided the fish. Well, in this instance, God provided a great draught of fish. So many that the nets began to break. And Peter had to call his friends with the other boat to come over and help him land them all. You know the results of this? It says there, when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." What's he saying? I should not have doubted you one iota. I should not. To even say never that we were out all night. We should have just said, you know, thank God that the Lord Almighty is a forgiving God, that he forgives us and has forgiven his people their sins. He took them to the cross, never to be brought up again. So Simon Peter saw it. He fell at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he was astonished. You know, it's a good thing to be astonished from time to time, to see a God in his activity that is far superior to ours. To have a God that we can understand is not a God at all. To have a God that we can tell what to do is not a God at all. To have a God that's dependent upon us to do something is not a God at all. The God of heaven is not dependent upon people. Now, he is blessed to give us his grace. He's blessed to give us his word. But he is not dependent upon us for his glory. His glory is just his glory. He's had it from eternity and will have it for eternity. And then it says that he called his friends over, his partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help. And they came and filled both ships so that they began to sink. What a load of fish God provided. And then he tells him, and so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. They were also astonished. They also realized that they were, as Peter said, a sinner. And Jesus said unto Simon, "Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch fish." You know, the Lord is sharing with him, it's not convincing somebody that they're fish. It's not you. It is you to declare the word, to drop the nets out. I provide the catch. So salvation is of the Lord. The catch is of the Lord. The church is of the Lord. It is God's business, what he does, and he knows it all. He plans it all. And so often we are surprised by his great grace. We're surprised by the grace of God, that he would be so gracious to give us a great draught of fish, or deliver us from sin, or to give us a place in heaven, or to have a love for us. That's grace. That is great grace. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. What a statement. What a blessing it is to follow this one who is the ruler of heaven and earth. A king once said, he rules among the armies of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stop him, stop his hand from working, or none can say, what are you doing? Peter, James, those sons of Zebedee walked away astonished, but thankful for amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. All right, Brother Mike, if you'll come and lead us in a closing hymn and have prayer.